John chapter 8, verse 12. The Bible said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us wisdom to preach and power to preach. And I pray, Lord God, that the Word of God will be quick and powerful this morning, penetrate into the heart, penetrate into the soul, and do an eternal work. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, "Last One Out Turns Off the Light." I've been listening for I don't know how long to Tom Bodett advertise Motel 6. And he tells us that this is Tom Bodett, and we're with Motel 6, and you can get a clean blah, blah room for, you know, for the one of the lowest prices of any nationally advertised chain. And he goes through his little spiel, and he said, "We'll leave the light on for you." And I thought, you know, Jesus left the light on for us.
Amen.
Amen. I don't need a light down at Motel 6. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. In John chapter 9 and verse 5, the Bible said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, darkness is a terrible thing. There's just all kinds of things you can't do in darkness. Darkness is dangerous. You need to be very careful in darkness. I was watching a thing the other day, and it was the invention of electricity, the discovery of electricity, invention of the light bulb, and how it revolutionized the world, because now we could do things heretofore we could not do, and this, that, and the other. Light is a wonderful thing, and darkness is an awful thing most of the time. The Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Amen. Most of the meanness that goes on in the world goes on nighttime. Now, Jesus said that he was the light of the world. Now, obviously, he wasn't an incandescent bulb, and he wasn't a 4-foot, 40-watt gas-filled thing like we have in our auditorium. He's using that as an analogy, a symbol. He's the light of the world in the sense that he gives moral light, spiritual light, intellectual light. He gives the light of the truth, see? And that's the kind of light that the world needs. We need truth. Pilate, when talking to Jesus, asked the question, said, "What is truth?" And philosophers have been dealing with that ever since. And, of course, none of them's ever found it. The first requisite to being a philosopher is to take your brain out and trash it. And from that day forward, you never have any absolutes. It is required by a philosophical law that you question and doubt everything. Now, see, us Christians, we have absolutes, which just destroys our ability to be proper philosophers. See? Because we just believe what the Bible says. And it steeps us in our religion and all of our spiritualism and all of our forms, all this stuff in the Bible. We're just stuck in that rut. We can't go anywhere else because we believe certain things are so and certain things aren't so. Jesus, the Bible said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so the light that Jesus was, is he was the truth of God that dispels the darkness of ignorance and superstition and those kind of things, see? So I want you to understand what kind of light we're talking about. And if you look around in the world, you'll notice, and nobody should have any problem realizing, that the world is filled with darkness. Our morals, our principles, our scruples, our value system have all but been trashed and dumped into the cesspool of humanity. The world you live in is a wicked, wicked world. It stumbles along in absolute darkness without any real truth. And the reason they don't have any truth is they've discarded this book. Now, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And he was the truth, and he was the light. And what the words that he delivered, which he got from God the Father, were words of truth, and they give light on every human condition and every human situation. The Bible is filled with the light of God. The Word of God, and Jesus was the incarnate Word, and what you have in your lap is the written Word. And so you have light there. Now he said in John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But then he left. While he was here, he was the light, and the world focused on him. And he said, as long as I'm here, I'm the light of the world. And wherever he went, wherever he walked, and whoever went with him, and whoever walked with him, walked in that light. The problem was, he did not stay. He left. He went home to glory. He went back from whence he came. So, well, that leaves us in a dilemma, doesn't it? Well, no. The Lord loves you, and the Lord foresaw the problem, and he took care of it before he left. He said, what did he do? The Bible said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus knew that the world needed light. He knew that he had to go back to the Father, so he left light for a dark world. Say, where did he leave it? He left it in you and I. If Jesus is the light of the world, the Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are a light. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a light. The Bible is the light of the truth of God Almighty. Christ in us, the Word in us, the incarnate Word in you, the written Word in you, you become a beacon to give light to a dark world. Amen? I think that's a wonderful thing. That makes you very valuable. That makes you very important. No Christian is unimportant. Say, why? Because there's such a vast amount of darkness out there that we need every light shining as brightly as it can to dispel the darkness of this old sin-cursed, hell-bound world. Now, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16 that God created two lights, the greater light to rule over the day and the lesser light to rule over the night. He's talking about the sun and the moon. And then he said, and he made the stars also. So when you go back over in Genesis and you look at that thing, here's what you see. You see the sun and the moon, and then way out in here, in the blackness of space, in that pitch black velvet sky, you see all those twinkling little stars. So we have three elements out there, four things. You have the sun, the moon, the stars, and the blackness of the heavens. Amen? Now, the Bible uses analogies and similitudes and stuff all the time to illustrate or to teach spiritual truth. The sun, the S-O-N and the S-U-N picture each other. The Bible said in Malachi, when the sun, S-O-N, of righteousness ariseth with healing in his wings. See? And so Christ is the sun pictures Jesus Christ, pictures God. You take the sun up there in the sky that you see every day, that sun gives off three kind of rays, alpha, beta, and gamma. Or gamma rays are called ascetic rays. They picture the Trinity. Say, so how's that? Well, you have alpha, beta, and gamma. One is a heat ray, one is a light ray, and one is an ascetic ray. The heat ray can be felt but not seen. The light ray can be seen but not felt. And the ascetic ray cannot be seen or felt. You say, why is that important? Because we've saw the sun, we feel the Holy Spirit, and no man has ever seen God. See? And so the sun pictures the three persons of the Godhead. Now the moon hangs up there in the sky, and you say, the moon's shining brightly tonight. They sing the song, Shine On, Silvery Moon. Well, technically speaking, the sun doesn't shine. It is a dead planet. It's a ball of rock and dust and dirt, and it has no life on it, and it has no light in it. If the sun were turned off, the moon would be in absolute darkness. The only light that you ever saw from the moon is the reflected light of the sun. If we moved them around and put them in the wrong positions where the sun couldn't shine on the moon, you'd never know it was there. See? But because of where they're at in position to each other, relation to the surface of the earth, the sun shines on the surface of the moon and the light is reflected on the earth. Amen. So, the sun represents God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the moon represents the church. You say, why? Because we don't have any light of our own. All the light we have is the light of another. We are to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. What they're supposed to see in us is Him. Amen? And so, like the moon, we're a dead thing. We're useless and worthless. But God uses us to reflect the light of His Son, and therefore we give light to the world. Amen? Now, the Bible said that the lesser light was to rule over the night. In the Bible, in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you find out that the dispensation that you live in is called nighttime. This is then the dispensation of the church. You and I were left in a dark world to give light to it. It's not our light, it is borrowed light. It's not our light, it is shared light. It's not our light, it's light radiated from another. It's not our light, it didn't cost us, we give it away freely. He shines on us and we shine to the world. Amen? Ye are the light of the world. Now, Matthew 5:14 said, "You're the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hid." We are not supposed to hide that light. You and I are supposed to labor, we are to endeavor to shine as brightly as we possibly can in this old dark world. In Luke chapter 11, verse 33 through 36, the Bible said, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part darkness, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." You're supposed to be a bright light. You're supposed to be filled with light. And if you're filled with light, you give off light. But you could be filled with darkness. Now there's a danger. You as a Christian are supposed to have the light of Christ in you. And you're not supposed to let anything come in you that could hide your light or diminish your light. You are supposed to live in such a way and live close enough to God and be filled enough with the Spirit of Christ and the Word of God that your light is a bright beacon to give off light in a dark world. And anything that would put that light out or close that light down or dim that light, you are to get rid of it. Having no part darkness. You can't get too godly. You can't get too Christ-like. You can't get too spiritual. You can't get too holy. You can't get too filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't be too much like the Son. Amen? The desire of God Almighty is that in you there be no darkness at all. Boy, if we could do that, the world would see a light, would it not? Now, let me give you four or five things about we are the light of the world. Number one, as the light of the world, we are to shine and not be hid. Amen? What good is a light if you hide it? What good is a light if you turn it on and put a bucket over it? It's only good if you let it shine. I don't know about you, but I've been in some situations, buddy, where any light at all would have been a wonderful thing. I flew some fellas up from Kingsville, Texas one time to St. Louis, Missouri. We was in a little single-engine airplane, and we're flying along, and we left late in the afternoon, and it got pitch black on us. Then we ran into some thunderstorms. I mean, it was pretty nasty. And all of a sudden, there was a flash under the dash of my airplane, and the lights went out. The radio went out, all the navigation tools went out, and I'm sitting up there at about 14,000 feet, 135 miles an hour, plugging along in absolute darkness. There's no sun. I mean, there are no stars. There's no moon. We are in thunderstorms. We're bouncing around. The only light we had is every now and then there'd be a flash of light someplace. You say, what'd you do? Oh, we prayed. I was lost. I did not know Jesus, but I did not let it keep me from coming to the throne of grace. I did that. I've done some serious praying. I made some promises. Man, we're tooling along through there, and I'm just trying to keep the rudders even. And we were on the heading we were on. I just tried to maintain that as close as I could with the wet compass, you know, which normally you don't fly with at night. You usually got this little thing down there that lines you up on a VOR or something. So we're just trying to watch that compass every now and then. We'll get a flashlight and see where it's headed, and just trying to, as best we could, stay in the right direction. We don't even know how far we got left to go. Our DME is down. That's distance measuring equipment. You know, it gives you slant range distance from your airplane to the beacon on the ground. We don't know how far we are. 100 miles, 80 miles, somewhere around in there. 135 miles an hour in pitch black. You forget about time. So I don't know how long we were in that condition. I just know everybody on board was scared to death. And we banged on the dash. You ever do that? You know, trying to get something to come back on, hoping them lights would flag. Nothing. Then we're tooling along there, and all of a sudden, the engine goes, boom, boom. I said, oh, Lord. We're not going to have any lights. We're not fixing to have any motor. And, of course, we found out later what it was. You know, little airplanes have actually got two spark plugs in every cylinder. And one of the wires on one cylinder had burnt too, so when it was supposed to fire that spark plug, it didn't fire. The engine wasn't going to quit. But sitting behind there in the darkness, we didn't know that. We anticipated the worst. So, man, we're tooling along. It's black. It's raining. It's bumpy. It's late. We're tired. We're scared. And all of a sudden, we came through a cloud. And you know what I saw? The prettiest sight on planet Earth. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been to St. Louis or not, but in St. Louis, they have this arch. It's about 800 feet high. I mean, it's just huge. But it's world famous, the arch in St. Louis. And we broke through this little cloud, and there was that arch. That's the first thing I saw coming out of the darkness. Bathed in light. Now, when we got out of the clouds and saw that arch, and I knew right where I was at. I knew exactly what I had to do. I wasn't afraid anymore. I said, I got this. No problem. Before that, I was willing to turn it over to God. But now I want it back. I tell you what, boy, when you come out of that darkness and you see that first glimmer of light, that's the prettiest thing you ever laid eyes on. Amen? The world needs some light. They stumble in darkness and they see nothing. And what they need to see some Christians that are full of God and full of the Word of God and got a glow about them that comes down from heaven. Amen? We need not to hide our light. We need to be full of light. Now, our danger is that we can be filled with darkness. Christians can live their lives in such a way as to put the light out or to cover the light up. And that's a real tragedy. But one of the great problems in contemporary America with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the church has quit putting out light. We're too interested in ourselves and in our family and having a good time and recreation and vacations and all. And I'm all for all of that stuff. But not to the exclusion of God Almighty. Not to where it's even 50-50. God ought to get the lion's share of your life. Amen? Amen. We need to be concerned about the quality and the quantity of the light that we give to the world. Which leads me to point number two or three or wherever I'm at. There are many ways, and there are many means for delivering light. For example, you can have a lighthouse down here on the coast, along Cape Hatteras, one of the most dangerous coastlines in the world. You come in off that continental shelf and that water gets shallow pretty quick and they got all those rocks out there and there have been many a ship went down off the coast of North Carolina. So they built lighthouses down there. And those things are millions of candle power strong. And they rotate. And they put out a brilliant, bright light. And so a ship out at sea, fog bound in a storm, and a lot of times the fog rolls in off the coast and goes 8 or 10 miles out to sea. Ships sailing through that get a glimpse of that beacon on the shore and know where they're at and know how far away they are, and they can steer away from the rocks. It takes a bright light to protect a ship in a dark world on a dangerous coast. Amen? Boy, sometimes Christians are like beacons on the bank. They're like lighthouses. I've known some fellas and some ladies that were full of God, and they had a light about them that shone everywhere they went. And men and women that were ready to crash on the rocks of life and be destroyed and ruined, they've saved them and delivered them time and time and time again because of the power and the brightness of the light in their life. I bought me a little flashlight yesterday. I've been needing one. All my men carry them, and I never have. I've just always carried a big one because I like a lot of light. But my eyes have gotten so bad, my glaucoma and stuff, and I got cataract now in this right eye, and I can't focus much anymore. I can't. And so I got me this little mini mag thing so that things I used to normally see, there's just not quite enough light anymore. It's not dark. It's just, if there's a shadow or something, I just can't make it out. So I got me this little mini mag. And I can put it right there. And I'm going to do what my guys do. I've watched them. I've learned how to do this. They get their tools out and they take their mini mag and they turn it on and put it in their mouth.
And you do like that.
But I've got that figured. I'm going to work on that. I'll be good at that. Amen. Now, it don't give out a lot of light, but it gives enough light to get the job done. Amen. You know, you can be about the dumbest Christian that ever drew a breath. I mean, you could be dumber than Hayseed Joe. You can be as redneck as any redneck that ever drew a breath. You ain't got to be a rocket scientist to give off enough light to keep somebody from crashing on the rock. You ain't got to be a brilliant intellect. You don't have to be a great theologian to give off enough light to keep people from dying and going to hell. Amen? Listen, you say, well, I don't know any Bible and I don't know any theology. You don't need to. The Bible said, tell them what happened to you. Paul preaches 5 times in the New Testament. 3 of those times, all he did was give his testimony. He said, here's what I was and here's what God did for me and here's what I am now, buddy. Here's the old man, here's the process, here's the new result. Amen. Anybody can do that. You got that much light, don't you? If you're saved, you got that much light, don't you? You got a little mini mag at least. You ever been around an airport at night? Go over here to the Rock Hill, York County Airport some night and just watch the sky. And here's what you're going to see. Now, there are runway lights. A lot of times they turn those off unless there's an inbound plane. But always at an airport, there's what they call a rotating beacon. And what it is, it's a light that's got a green beam and a white beam, or a green beam and 2 white beams. One of those is a military airport. The other is a civilian airport. Civilian airport, you got a green light and a white light. A military airport, you got a green light and 2 white lights. And that thing is mounted up on a big old pole, and it just very slowly turns. And that's so that you can distinguish that light from any other light in the county. When you see that white and that green slowly rotating, you know that that thing is mounted or situated somewhere close to the geographical center of an airport. And so if you're flying around up there at night and you're scared and lonely, that's a friendly sight to see. Amen. I remember one time I was down in Texas and I was just learning to fly. And I went off with this guy. We flew over from Kingsville to a place called Alice, Texas. And we took 2 airplanes. We landed over there and messed around for a while, and then we decided we'd go someplace else. So we left my airplane, and we went in this other guy's airplane. And we've gone, it's about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and it's pitch black. So we fly back to Alice, Texas, we land, and I go over and get my airplane. I've got to fly it back to Kingsville. It's only about 15, 18 miles. I get in my airplane, I fire it up, and I taxi out to the end of the runway, and I can't see the runway lights. This fog and film had covered my windscreen. So I have to shut the thing down. I get up and wipe off the windscreen and all that so I can see. I get back in and crank it up. There's the runway lights. I push the throttles forward. I get the flying speed. I rotate. I'm up in the air. I get about 1,500 feet, and I'm looking for the airport. It dawned on me. I ain't never been flying at night before. What's a heck of a time to learn? I didn't know where the airport was at. And you know, at night,
you can't pick up landmarks. I had this fear go through my heart. I'm telling you what, it's the one in my heart did not stop on the spot. I thought, I'm in the air. I'm half blind with my dirty windscreen, and I don't know where I'm going. I was scared. I thought, you are really stupid too. Nobody's right mind would have done that. But I just didn't think about it. I just jumped in there. I knew how to fly the airplane. I didn't think about it being different at night. I jumped in an airplane and I took off. Then I got up there and I don't know where I'm at. Hadn't been that way for about a minute. And you know what I saw? I saw that airport beacon. I said, I got it. Lined up on that thing and got over there. The next thing I saw was them runway lights at Kingsville. Squeaked it on the ground. Wiped the sweat off my brow. Went all about my business. You know something? That light down there identified the place I needed to be. Told me what I needed to do. I said, thank God for that light. Amen. You know, some folks, some Christians can be like that. You can be identifying beacon. Every Christian ought to have a light that tells the world who you belong to. They ought not to have to wonder whose camp you're in, or are you a Christian, or are you this or that or the other. You ought to live a life and have a light about you that tells the world, saved, saved, saved. This man, this woman is a Christian and they belong to Jesus Christ. The world ought to be able to see it. And when they're in a storm or in darkness, or when they're afraid and lonely and don't know which way to go, there's a beacon there. There's a green light and a white light, and they say, here's a place where I can land. There's safety and there is security. I could give you all kind of lights. I got about 25 different kind of lights up here, but you get the point. You and I ought to be what the world needs. We ought to be a light. Now, Brother Lewis is a Bible student, and I enjoy being around Brother Lewis. They were over at the house the other night to work on my wife's computer. I hate computers. But he came over to work on it, and don't, by the way, don't have him over. He didn't fix it. That was ugly. I just teased him, brother. He came over, we were sitting on the front porch before he went to work on the computer, and we was talking, and I forget what the conversation was, but I said something about the Palmer worm ate it. And Brother Lewis laughed because he knew exactly what I was talking about. He read that book and he knew about the Palmer worm. Amen. Now, Brother Lewis studies that book, and that book fills you with light. And so it makes you fun to be around for other Christians because you got something to talk about, amen. But that book is filled you with light. Now, I've been studying the book for 34 years. Brother Lewis has been studying 10 or 11 now, 11 or 12. Time flies, I don't know. Long time. Long enough to learn a good bit. Now, I'm one kind of light and he's another. I can reach one group because I have one personality. He can do something else. He's a little different. We're not a lot different, but we're somewhat different. Amen? And that's a good thing because that means that those I can't reach, he can. And you're a little different. You're a little different. So every light is a little different. We're not exactly the same light, even though we give off the same light. So what does that mean? That means God can use you and 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 me. Amen? So why? Because the world needs every kind of light there is. We need little mini mags, and we need big old beacons sitting on the coastline, and we need airport beacons, and we need flashing lights. And we need steady lights. And we need bright lights. You realize that sometimes if you had somebody in darkness and they needed a certain amount of light, but if you took that big old beacon that's down there on the coast by Hatteras and put that on them, they'd be blinded by it. You would overpower them with that much light. What they need is a much smaller light that'll only focus on a little area and help them get out of a particular situation. God got it all worked out. Amen. If I just give the light that God gave me and you give the light God gave you, we could do a real job out there in the world. Amen. Which leads me, boy, I got to hurry. Let me give you five or six things about putting out the light. It said, if that light which is in thee be darkness. Let me give you five or six things that you ought not to do. Number one, don't
put the light out. Don't put the light out. Say, how do you put the light out? With silence. You got it in you, but it won't do you any good if you don't talk about it and tell people. We got to take the light out and tell folks and give them the gospel. The Bible said, lest the glorious light of the gospel shine in their heart. How does it do that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to get out there and talk and talk and talk and talk and tell the world about Jesus Christ. Amen? Sometimes we put the light completely out because we never open our mouth and tell the world about Jesus Christ. Number two, don't hide the light. Then how do you hide it? With your lifestyle. You live in such a way nobody can see the light. People say, well, I don't think it makes any difference how you live. Well, you're too stupid to breathe, son. You need your brain taken out and redone. You need to get rewired. It makes all the difference in the world how you live. People say, well, you know, these people do it that way, and these people, I don't care about the rest of them. I'm telling you what, you and I, as independent Baptists saved by the grace of Almighty God, as light bearers in a dark world, ought to live in such a way that our life will not put out the light that we have. You ought to live in such a way that folks can look at you and tell you're different, and that there's something peculiar about you, and that you're religious, and that you're a Christian. It ought to show. Christians want to run around here dressed like the world, dressed like a bunch of hippies and a bunch of mongrels, and the ladies undressing and dressing so scantily and so cheaply and so shoddily. I've cried out loud, you're a light! You're a light! And if you put on the clothes the world wears and you dress like they do and you talk like they do and you do what they do, nobody can see your light. Your darkness. I know folks get aggravated at me about preaching on standards all the time and dressing right and this, that, and the other. Well, you just gonna have to get aggravated. It's necessary. If I'm to be a light, I need to be bright enough so the world can see me. Don't you know that you can distinguish light from darkness? Average Christian anymore, you can't distinguish them from the world. I'll tell you something else. Don't color the light. What we need is a bright white light without any darkness in it. Amen? Say, well, how do you color the light? Oh, the world's managed with neo-orthodoxy, neo-evangelicalism. They've colored the gospel. If any man preach any other gospel than you, let him be anathema, maranatha. Amen? Let him be accursed. Let the wrath of God abide on him. We're not to change the story. We're not to color the gospel. It's not to become a social thing. It's not to become a thing of good works. It's not to become a human endeavor. It's not to become humanistic. It's not to become naturalistic. It's supposed to be supernatural from God. It's supposed to be from heaven. The light of the gospel is not the light of this world in the sense that it originates here. It's the light of this world in the sense that it lightens this world, but it originates somewhere else. Then don't rewrite the light. That's all inversions they got out there. That book is light. That's the living word of the living God. Buddy, you open that thing and it put light on anything you need to talk about. You want light on homosexuality? Open that book. Romans chapter 1 will start. Leviticus 19, see? You want to know about abortion? Open that book. You want to know about divorce? Open that book. You want to know about gambling, drinking, smoking, lying, cheating? Huh? You want to know? Open the book. It'll put a light on it. The old Bible will take a spotlight and put it right on there, and you look at that thing and you won't be able to say, well, I don't see anymore, because there's enough light right there to open your eyes. You can see anything you want to see. So that, what do? They rewrite the book so it don't have any light. You keep that old King James 1611 in your lap. Don't you let nobody talk you out of it. You go down to the bookstores anymore, you can't hardly find them. You want your new one and they don't have one. Tell them to order you one. You say, I'm looking for a light. Don't rewrite it. Don't forget this. Don't forget, only light dispels darkness. Only light dispels darkness. What we're trying to do, what we're endeavoring to do, is get darkness, get rid of the darkness. Amen? Social activism doesn't get rid of the darkness. Do-gooderism doesn't get rid of the darkness. Being good and kind and sweet and benevolent doesn't get rid of the darkness.
They may be nice things, and there may even be a place for them, but it won't get rid of darkness. The only thing that gets rid of darkness is light. And Jesus is the light of the world, and now you and I are the light of the world, and what they need is the light of the gospel to shine in and open their hearts and open their minds and open their understanding. You and I better keep preaching the gospel and keep preaching the book if you want to put out light. Anything else may be good, but it's not light, and the world will go on in darkness without it. Don't forget that the light will not always be here. Jesus said, while I'm here, implication, I'm leaving. But while I'm here, I'm the light of the world. And then he said, you're the light of the world. We need to share that light while we can. We need to share that light with all that we can. You say, why? Because light ain't always going to be here. The Lord is going to take the church out. Now, the church is the light of the world. You and I are the light of the world. And he's going to take us out. And there won't be any light left in the world. And that's the reason I gave the message the title. Last one out turns off the light. The last person going up in the rapture turns off the light. There won't be any light. And the world will fall into darkness. And the Antichrist will reign. And all the wickedness and the hellishness that can come up from the depraved human heart will pervade the whole planet. And the world will just sink into the sewer and the mire of the darkness of this whole world. And nothing will be restrained and nothing will be restricted. And only the imagination of a wicked heart will reign on this world. You say, why? Because there's no light left. The last one out turns out the light. There's coming a day when there won't be any light left in the world. You know something? There's nothing you can do about that. The rapture's coming. The church is going. I'll tell you what you can do. You can be a light as long as you're here. You need to work and labor to make sure that that light that's in you is bright and glowing, that you're filled with the truth and the power of God and the Holy Spirit, and that wherever you go in this old black, dirty world, you give off a light that the world can see and will have no excuse for the things that it does, because you put light on it. And they saw the truth. They may choose darkness, but you put a light on it, and they know. The Bible said, Jesus speaking said, and they have no excuse. If I had not come, they would have had an excuse for their sin. But I am come, now they have none. You say, why? Because the light. I said, that's wrong. You know what's wrong? Your light. You're supposed to point out what's wrong and point out the offender to Jesus Christ. He's still the light. You still reflect the light. Don't point him to me. Don't point him to you. Don't point him to our church. We have no light of our own. He is the light. And one of these days the church will be gone. And the last one out turns out the light. Let's bow our head. Sister Jordan, why don't you come play for me this morning, if you would. Just as I am, without one plea.